Good morning and happy Sabbath, One Turner Church. Are we on here? No, not yet. Hello? Hello? Yeah, it's coming. All right, cool. Thanks, Timmy. There we go. Wow, what a program it has been today. Happy Mother's Day to everyone here. It is such a pleasure for me to be a part of this service. I, in my life, have very important mothers. As you know, my mum came down from Brisbane just to be here for the dedication, and we got her a Mother's Day present to come down. And then, of course, there's Maritza's mother, Liliana, who's very special to me. And then, of course, my wife, who is an amazing mum. And it's just amazing how much mums do, right? I mean, we all have come from a mother. We know what mothers do and what they do in the background that nobody else sees. So I just want to thank Ruth and Jamie for just such an amazing program. It's been so amazing so far. In fact, it's 10 past 12, which means I'm going to do like a 10-minute sermon. So you have made everyone happy right now today. Well done. 5 minutes. Okay, I'll do 5 minutes. There's a lot more people I want to thank. Thank you for Ben for looking after the Mother's Day breakfast. That was an amazing job. We appreciate you for that. And I feel like I'm kind of blocking something amazing behind me. Have you seen the artwork behind me? Now, I've been told that it was Jeanette. Is that right? You have a gift, and we know that. So we want to thank everyone just for the contributions that you have done. And it's amazing being a parent. I heard this joke where it said my daughter asked me what it was like to have a child. And so what I did is I just kept interrupting her for 10 seconds until she cried. So, you know, it's interesting being a parent in this day and age, and you really do see some of the things that happen in the background. We're very thankful for all the parents here. Now, of course, I do have to put a bit of a pause on the Mother's Day theme because we are continuing a series called Back to Basics Reset. And as Yoshi has said, the first one was about love because it is the most important. But it's amazing how God works because Jamie last week did one on truth. And we didn't even put that in the series, but it worked perfectly. It did well. So today we are talking about faith. But before I start, I just want to be able to enter this place with the Holy Spirit. So let's bow our heads as we go into the sermon today. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for just your love. We know that we get to know your love through some of our mother's love as well. And we just want to thank you for blessing us with mothers. And we know that it can be hard. Some people don't have the same types of mother, but we know that you love all equally. And so we just want to pray for them right now. But Lord, we also want to pray for today's service. May it just be full of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I just want to pray that whatever I say, have your words really come through me. I just pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Now, you probably heard about this story before. I don't know whether it's true or not, but there are many variations of this. Basically, a man would be walking down somewhere close to a cliff edge, and he falls over. And there's a bit of a branch hanging out of the cliff, and the guy catches it, and he's holding on for his life. Now, he has never been a religious person in his life. He had never had called out to God before. And yet at this moment, like many others, they will call out to someone for help. And so he calls and he says, "Is there anyone there?" And nobody answers. And so he looks up and he says, "Is there anyone there?" And he hears God. And God says, "I've got you. Let go." And the man thinks about it, and then he says, "Is there anyone else up there?" Because when it comes to faith and belief, it's as if there's a blocker for a lot of people. People will do anything but believe in something greater than themselves. And it's funny because when you look at faith, most people who claim that it's not for them, it's because they say, "We want proof. We want to be able to see what we believe." And faith, those who have a faith are kind of dumb, right? There's things like blind faith, right? Taking a leap of faith. Some of these phrases are used to show that it's not really intelligent. It's just something that we do because it's emotional. We believe there's something up there, so we'll do funny things to be able to follow our beliefs. And it's interesting, just seeing some of the quotes out there that are not religious, that kind of look at faith itself. Here's one. "They told me to use the brain God gave me. I did. Now I'm an atheist." Ironic, isn't it? That's the type of feeling that people outside of a faith have towards those who believe. Have a look at this one. You might know a guy called Tim Minchin. He actually comes up with some great stuff. This one here, science adjusts its views based on what's observed. Faith is the denial of observation so that belief can be preserved. It's interesting, isn't it? Because maybe you have been outside the church before and you can understand this feeling. Maybe you have children, maybe you have family who are now no longer believing and they fit this description. And it's catchy because it is somewhat true. Those without faith only trust in things that they see. And so how do you explain to people who don't believe in anything that they can't see what faith is? Where do you start? What do you say to them? Well, one of the best descriptions of faith for me, very quickly, is a very easy one. If you think about your five senses right now, how many of those five senses actually help you understand something you cannot see? How many? Four, right? Taste. Sure, you can see the food, but you can't see the taste. You've got touch. Close your eyes. You can feel. Smell. You cannot see. Aroma. Right, you've got these senses that help you understand things that you cannot see. And if someone didn't have a sense, you might as well say that that person is missing out on something. Maybe he's an invalid, maybe they're disabled somehow, right? They're missing something that they probably should have. And so when we look at this idea of faith, someone told me that faith is like a spiritual sixth sense. It's like being able to understand something again that you cannot see. And it shouldn't be hard to be able to make people understand that because of our senses. It's best said like this. Faith, believing is seeing. No faith, seeing is believing. To the unbeliever, it still sounds dumb though. When you look at that and you say, I'm faithful because I believe and so I can see, they will still look at that and go, hang on. That's kind of like a child, isn't it? You know, I think about my daughter Naomi, who would just jump off her bed and just ask me to catch her. And sometimes she doesn't even warn me, right? Have you ever been like that, parents, when you look behind you and suddenly a child is in midair and you have to catch them, right? Why on earth does she do that to me? Well, because she's a toddler, right? But she somewhat trusts me. I have yet dropped her. I don't think I've dropped her yet, babe. No, there is one time I did. I'm just thinking about it now. But she still trusts me because she can't remember that incident, right? This idea of trust, it's so important for kids because they just want to give their whole self to you. And when people don't understand faith, they kind of look at it like you're just a child. You're just jumping in and hoping someone will catch you. But realistically, there's no one there. We've had those conversations before, and it's interesting because I don't blame them sometimes. I used to work in a very, very secular place. I did not like Christians. And I remember they telling me once, they said, how can you believe in faith being intellectual and smart when you have movies of Jesus, of this perfect, sometimes blonde-haired, blue-eyed man walking down the beach, looking at people when he just catches their eye and he says, come with me if you want to live. And they just drop everything and then they just follow him. And you just go, how is that intellectual? How is that anything but emotional? And they see that type of depiction of faith time and time again, and you go, I understand. I understand when you're coming from. That type of faith is kind of like what romance movies are to relationships. Do you get me? Right? Romance is beautiful. It's amazing. You get caught up. You get swept away. But it's kind of emotional. And you don't really think about it too often. You kind of just jump in to see what feels right. That's not what faith is, and yet that's what people think it looks like. One of the best quotes about faith is from a pastor called R.C. Sproul. He says, faith is more than knowledge and reason, but it is not less. Now, here's the thing. Faith is actually very easy to understand because no matter if you're religious or not, we do it every single day. Let me give you some examples. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, guess what I got up to today? And they say their story. You've got to have faith in that person's word. And you may not have faith in that person's word depending on how much you trust them. But we do it every day. But let's even go deeper to something even more every day. How about jumping on a plane? Who here has been on a plane since COVID has finished? When I say finished, I mean post-pandemic. Anyone been on a plane? All right, can you put your hand up if you went into the cockpit where the pilots are and you asked for their credentials? Did anyone do that? Yeah, no? Why not? So you just go into this steel contraption that goes into the sky without even knowing who's flying you, right? Why? Because you have faith. Now, and faith in what? Well, you have faith that you don't really hear too much about planes hitting the ground. That's great. You have faith that those who went to flight school actually learned what to do, right? You have trust in Qantas or Virgin, whoever it is. But you have faith. Do you know why? Because you step into it and your life is dependent on that faith. How about we go deeper? When you go to the doctors and they give you a diagnosis, do you believe them? Well, during the pandemic, that kind of belief went down a little bit, didn't it? Right? But generally speaking, if a doctor who is supposed to be an expert in their field tells you what's going wrong, you usually take a step of faith, grab the medication, and do what they say. Now, you don't even know who that guy is, maybe. Maybe he's a family doctor and you trust him. But you have faith in that person. Who here was alive during Napoleon's time? Anyone? Yeah, how do you know Napoleon existed? Right? We have faith in the books. We have faith in the history. We have faith all the time. Look, I could go on and on and on. I'm just looking around here. I'm going to pick on Kishore. I'm so sorry, Kishore. I'm so sorry. Tanisha, how do you know that Kishore is your father? How do you know? He was just there when you were born, right? And then your mum was like, this is your dad, right? How do you actually know? I mean, obviously you guys look the same, but, you know, apart from that, right? Unless you get a DNA test to really prove it exactly, you may never be able to say 100%, maybe 99.9% that he's your dad, but you take a step of faith. And I know that sounds really silly, but just think about it for a second, because you did not confirm that, right? We have faith all the time. And I know, Kishore, you're a great dad. You're a very good dad. That's why I picked on you. This idea of faith, right? We do it every day. And yet, for a lot of people, they look at us and they say, you guys, really? God? Really? Can you really believe in someone like that? You know, it's a perfect example of people who aren't religious that have faith. Now, I've been in Melbourne for, 2.5 years, and I still don't understand AFL, so I'm so sorry for you guys. I still follow rugby league, all right? And you guys have Melbourne Storm. You're the best team in the whole comp, and yet nobody knows who they are here. It's just all AFL. It's really sad. But anyway, my team, unfortunately, is a team called the Warriors. And they are a pretty dismal team, I have to admit. And their slogan is keeping the faith. Right? Now, it's interesting because since their 1995 inaugural game, they have never won a premiership, ever. There's only two teams that haven't won a premiership in the NRL. That's the Titans and the Warriors. And it's a really, really sad point for a lot of people who come to me. Now, here's the thing. There are all the signs pointing towards them winning is very slim, right? Then they're still not a very good team. They're about mid-tier. But here's my point. I still take 2 hours out of my week and I watch the games. I still buy their jerseys and they can cost a lot of money. I don't know about AFL jerseys or what are they called? Singlets, right? See, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm a Queenslander, see? Jumpers. There we go, right? And they're expensive, but we buy them. And then we put flags on our cars and we go to their games and we shout for them, right? And yet we don't know whether they're going to win. I have a lot of faith that maybe one day the Warriors might win, but I don't know. Now, I heard that there was an equivalent to AFL. I think it was the Melbourne Demons, right? The Ds. And they waited, let me get this right, 57 years for a title. And that's double what I've been waiting. So I'm not looking forward to that. But here's the thing. Everybody has the capability to have faith. In fact, you could probably say that some sports supporters have more faith in their team than we do in God. Let me just leave that there and put it away for a sec. God has put it in our hearts when he created us to believe, to have faith. It's just there's a big difference between sports and God. And this is where I want to go to. What does it mean to have faith in God? We're going to go to Hebrews 11. I invite you to use your Bibles, but the text is up on the screen for you. It is a little bit small, but Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 3. The Bible rarely defines terms, but it defines faith here. That's a very good definition. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 3 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were seen were not made of things which were visible. Now I would say that that is a great definition of faith, but let me ask you a question. What there shouts dumb or blind faith? Can you see anything there that may indicate to you that faith is really dumb? Because when I have a look at some of the words, and if you have to look at the Greek for this, right? Some of the words are like this: hypostasis, a foundation, a support, a substance. We carry on. There is epilzo or epizo, to expect, to hope, and to look for. How about elenchos, which is cross-examination, proof, or the Socratic method? If you know what the Socratic method is, it basically is a long version of logic. And these words are used to describe faith. Don't be fooled. Faith is not dumb and it is not without reason or knowledge. And yet, society views faith like this. Faith is in the middle and it pushes out all knowledge and reason. And some people would say the greatest oxymoron, the greatest irony, is a Christian scientist. Have you heard about that? Few Christian scientists, and they're brilliant. And they believe in really good science, but they also believe in God. Now, it's interesting when we talk about science. I absolutely love science. When I was doing my psych degree, science was just everything. And there are some really great things when it comes to science. And I'm not here to bag out science. Please, don't think that I'm doing that. But let me just show you something. Those who put their faith in things like science still get it wrong sometimes. It wasn't until the 17th century, until they realized that the universe did not revolve around the earth. That's something pretty big to get wrong. It wasn't until the 18th century, they suddenly thought that the earth was 75,000 years old, and now at the moment, current estimates are about 4.5 billion, right? Sounds like they're changing their tune all the time. Now, here's a good example of science getting it wrong. Diet and food, right? Really, really bad. If you ever go on the news, you will find that there's a new study that tells you something new about something that you thought was right, and now it's wrong, and now it's right again, right? It's always changing. Here's one that I kind of saw when I was growing up. We believe that at some point in time, eating fat was making you fat, right? That's why we have diet everything, because it was the removal of fat. But then they realized it wasn't the fat that was making you fat. In fact, the diet foods were worse for you. And so they went, it was saturated fats. Do you remember this? And so they swapped the butter for margarine. Do you remember this time? And you had things like, I can't believe it's not butter, all these different things. Then they realized that the polyunsaturated fats in the margarines was causing worse problems for heart disease. Arteries were getting smaller. They got it completely wrong. How about red meat? 2016, I'm sure every Adventist knows about this moment in time where you were when you knew the World Health Organization said eating red meat was almost like smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. In fact, if you go on their website right now, they still class eating red meat as cancerous, possibly, right? Now, prior to that, would you see advertisements all the time saying, eat your beef, eat your pork, Eat all your red meat because it's going to give you all this stuff, right? And now, even if you Google science when it comes to red meat, you'll realize there's no consensus. Everyone thinks different. And I won't even get into wine. Wine was another one. Now, here's something. A peer-reviewed journal called PLOS One, you can Google this, they found that journalists that cover initial findings of studies, they don't cover it when it's been rebutted. Now, here's the thing. Look at this quote. They rarely inform the public when initial studies are disconfirmed, despite the fact around half the studies journalists write about are later rebutted by follow-up studies. In fact, half of the studies that you hear that come on the news have usually been rebutted because there's something wrong with that study, but they don't report that part. It's interesting to see that this idea of science, which is basically a scientific communal agreement to say that something here is right and we all agree on it, that's actually faith. Think about it for a second. A group of people who have an expert in their field coming together and having consensus on a truth. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like a faith. We look around the world and we conclude that creation, that the conscience in our mind, that the bodies that we are in, that the houses and the buildings that we are in, the trees and all of the creation that you see did not happen by chance. And so we conclude that it was made by a higher person, God. So here I hope you can see that if you have a faith, it doesn't have to be a faith in religion. It can be in anything, because there's nothing in this world that can actually definitively say that it is right. Maybe math. That's probably the only one I'm thinking of. When it comes to faith, the question should not be, what do you put your faith in? The question should be, what do you put your faith in? In Hebrews, it calls your substance. What's the substance of your faith? Is it politics? Is it science? Is it family values? Is it health? Is it your gut feeling? What is, at the end of the day, your foundation for your beliefs? Because according to Hebrews, the measure of your faith comes from the substance of your faith. The problem is, we know all things change and are not stable. But there is something that is stable, and I don't have to tell you because you know. It's God. From the beginning of time till now, God has never changed. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. If there is anything that you are going to put your faith into, I implore you, God is the only answer. And here's the thing. When you believe in God, the only thing that can grow your faith is to have a relationship with God. But remember, faith is more than knowledge and reason, but it's not less. It's not enough just to know God in here. Faith is something more than just scientific observation. Faith is something that's found here and in here. Faith is not just knowing, it's believing. I want to show you a video, and I do apologize. The video is really badly, the quality is horrible, but I hope the message comes across. So I'll just hopefully play it, and let's see if it works.
I have here a pendulum. I have an object that weighs 15 kilograms, and I can lift it up 1 meter, which I have done now. That means I've done work. MGH is the work I have done, believe me. I've increased the potential energy of this object. 15 times 10 is about 150 joules. If I let it fall, then that will be converted to kinetic energy. If I would let it swing from 1 meter height, and you would be there and it would hit you, you'd be dead. 150 joules is enough to kill you. They use these devices, they're called a wrecker ball. They use them to demolish buildings. You lift up a very heavy object, even heavier than this, and then you let it go, you swing it, thereby converting gravitational potential energy into kinetic energy, and that way you can demolish a building. You just let it hit, and it breaks a building. And that's the whole idea of wrecking. So you are using then the conversion of gravitational potential energy to kinetic energy. Now, I am such a strong believer of the conservation of mechanical energy that I am willing to put my life on the line. If I release that bob from a certain height, then that bob can never come back to a point where the height is any larger. If I release it from this height and it swings, then when it reaches here, it could not be higher. There is a conversion from gravitational potential energy to kinetic energy back to gravitational potential energy, and it will come to a stop here. And when it swings back, it should not be able to reach any higher, provided that I do not give this object an initial speed when I stand here. I trust the conservation of mechanical energy for 100%. I may not trust myself. I'm going to release this object, and I hope I will be able to do it at zero speed, so that when it comes back, it may touch my chin, but it may not crush my chin. I want you to be extremely quiet, because this is no joke. If I don't succeed in giving it zero speed, then this will be my last lecture. I will close my eyes. I don't want to see this. So please be very quiet. I almost didn't sleep all night. 3, 2, 1, 0. Physics works, and I'm still alive.
Who would love to have a teacher like that? The point came across, didn't it? Right? And I hope you can see the difference between knowing something and believing in something. The students probably knew the theory. They probably trust the teacher, and they probably knew everything that he was saying. But I guarantee you, if the teacher asked one of those students to do exactly what he did, how many do you think will put their hands up? That's the difference between knowing and having faith. Can you see it, church? And this idea of faith, and there was a quote that this guy, his name is, Walter. He said this, Walter Lewin. I am such a strong believer in kinetic energy, I'm willing to put my life on the line. Swap kinetic energy with God. And just evaluate where you think you are. See, faith is knowledge that leads to action. Notice that I never said faith is action, because faith that is action is works. But faith that leads to action is faith. It's the ability to, when called upon, be able to act on your beliefs. That's why with John 3:16 it says that you believe in him. It's not just knowing who he is. That's important. We need to know the Bible. We need to know who Jesus is and what he did, but to be able to believe him. And to believe in Jesus is a very different thing than just knowing. Do you remember how I said that there were these depictions of Jesus walking down the beach and talking to the disciples and saying, follow me, and they just dropped everything? Well, that's not the full story. Because if you were a Jew and you were a fisherman, then you missed out on school. You weren't good enough for school. In fact, there were three levels of school, and the highest level was to lead you to become a rabbi. And when a rabbi comes to you and says, follow me, he's telling you that you are good enough to follow him intelligence-wise, power-wise, everything. You can be like your rabbi. When Jesus came past those fishermen, he was telling them that you can be like me. And you can have that power. Their knowledge of the Messiah turned into faith the moment they moved. That's what it means to have faith. Let me end with this. I look at the time. I was not always a man of faith. I knew about God for most of my life. I was born an Adventist. But it wasn't until I went to the Solomons, and I think I was about 20, where my knowledge of God turned into my faith. Because when you go to a place like the Solomons, your faith is tested. You walk through villages and you get told that there's a witch doctor praying that you will just drop down and die. And on the other side, you've got pastors walking with you praying to God that you will be protected. Now, when was the last time you prayed for protection, that the devil was going to come and get you? I can tell you that being in Australia and being in a rich country like us, we don't get tested like that very often. But yet when you go to somewhere where faith is not this airy-fairy thing, but it's right in front of you, your faith becomes tested like a muscle and it becomes real. And so this idea of faith, it is not a dumb thing that we just go to church and we just believe in something that is invisible to us. Faith needs to be something that is believed in here, that if Jesus asked you to walk and to follow him or to do something for him, you would do what that lecturer did and you would stand in harm's way, knowing and trusting that God would look after you and protect you. Let's put our knowledge, our biblical knowledge that we spend every week learning, into action. And I want to be the person that when my life is on the line, where I have to stand up in front of someone and say that I will not recant my faith because I believe in God, I hope in that moment I will stand firm and I will be a strong believer. And I pray that that is the same for you too. So remember, when you walk into an elevator, into those weird steel walls, and you start to realize that this steel box is only held by a cable that thick, you're taking a step of faith. You don't know who created that lift. You don't know if it's structurally sound. You probably look at the weight and say, yep, I can be in here. This lift can hold me. But yet you have a step of faith because you could be going up 100 stories and you wouldn't even think about it once. How about we do that with God? Let's step out in faith and put what we know in here into here so that when we walk and when we have actions and when we are called upon, our faith is strong because of Christ.